live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
All right. It's so good to see everyone. I'm ready to have fun. I'm not going to be long, so you guys can be happy about that. Every time I say I'm not going to be long. Seriously, I'm not going to be long. But there's some things God has put on my heart that I want to get into that is just really to encourage you to help you move forward to the next level and dealing with things that's happening in our environment, in our world. Now, we got to be prepared and we got to be strong. We got to be ready to do what God has for us to do. So this message is called Better Up. Unleash your full potential. Better up. And, you know, I got to be careful how much of this I go into. It's actually, I came up with this Better Up a long time ago. So Better Up is the title to this message. But there's some other things that God's put in my heart that's probably going to have that title Better Up in the future. But basically, this is a title that you can hear in many different ways. I was thinking about this. I could say Better Up, like if I'm talking to Seth, Better Up. That's kind of like an instruction, man. You need to better up. You can do better. Let's go, right? I could say it in a way as if you're in a meat market and your ticket's been pulled. Better up. Who's better up? I'm going somewhere with this. I know y'all looking at me like, this guy is crazy. What is he doing? But also God showed me this as a play on the word batter up. Batter up, right? It's your turn. And so as we go through this teaching, think about that title, Better Up. And it might hit you from one of those aspects, okay? As you're having your chance, you are almost to the plate. It is almost your moment to find your better up. You've been waiting all this time. Felt like your hands have been tied. Haven't been able to release or reach the things that you want to do. But it's right there. And it could be your moment. I know God has a moment for all of us to where we step into our next level and it's awesome. It's spectacular. It will blow your mind. Amen. So that's what we're going to focus on, but it doesn't come free. Amen. So I want to say prayer and then we're going to get into it. Father God, I just thank you for today. I thank you for these, your people. I thank you for your love for them, for us. You're such a good God. We appreciate all you want to do in our lives. We know it's to advance your kingdom. It's not just for our agenda. It's your agenda. Advance your kingdom through us, Father God. We thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. If you've heard me speak before, sometimes the hardest thing as a minister is to remember not to assume. I assume if I'm speaking to you today and I've spoken many times in front of you, I assume that I've spoken to all of you before. And the truth is, there's new people here, and so you haven't heard me. I could probably take all of my sermons and drill them down to about 5 main messages. Praise and worship is always there. Walking in faith is always there. Success is the biggest one. The success cycle, you know. And so I can narrow it down to, flowing into gifts. There's different things. But the core thing God continues to bring me back to is the fact that his kingdom is self-sufficient. And he has put things in his kingdom that we can operate in and of ourselves. Not meaning me alone, but meaning his body can work and operate together. And so I'm going to touch on several different things here, and you might have heard some of these before. Some will be new to you, at least for me anyway. Amen? So I want us to turn to 2 Samuel 24. My goal is that when we're done, you will be thinking about, as you're turning there, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be thinking of several areas, four things, and I'll say these several times while I'm speaking. One, the thing to release your potential, we're going to focus on you cannot count on your current situation or your current status. You must count it as nothing. You also must identify God's plan. Sounds simple, but we'll talk about how to do that. So don't count on your current situation or your position and assume that you can work from there. That's one. You must identify God's plan for you. After you identify God's plan for you, you must invest or sacrifice. And then fourth, after that, you must lead others to excel. Those are the four areas we're going to touch on. In all these scriptures, I'm going to pull out something from them. So if we're in 2 Samuel 24, I want to start in verse 18. It says, "And Gad came that day to David and said to him, 'Go up, erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arnah, the Jebusite.'" And I told you before, when I minister and I share these names, I sound like I really know them. Maybe I do. I don't. Hopefully I'm pronouncing them correctly. I believe I am. But I'm not speaking in tongues anyway. So, and then in verse 19, it says, "So David, according to the word of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. Now Arnah looked and saw the king and his servants coming toward him. So Arnah went out and bowed before the king with his face to the ground. Then Arnah said, 'Why has my lord the king come to his servant?' And David said, 'To buy the threshing floor from you, to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people.' Now Arnah said to David, 'Let my lord the king take and offer up whatever seems good to him. Look, here are oxen for burnt sacrifice, threshing implements, and the yokes of the oxen for wood. All these, O king, Arnah has given to the king.'" Okay? "And Arnah said to the king, 'May the Lord your God accept you.'" 24. "Then the king said to Arnah, 'No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, nor will I offer burnt offering to the Lord, my God, with that which costs me nothing.' So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and the plagues were withdrawn from Israel." So I know there's a lot there, but David went and had Ahab count the people. One situation, there was over 800,000 people. Another situation, there was 500,000 people, and David was not supposed to really have them take a census, but he did. And it took over 8-9 months or something like that. Anyway, and so God was not pleased with him. David knew he was in trouble, and God had gave him three options, all of which were bad. You know, I'm going to give you, sometimes with your kids, I don't know about you, you can get a spanking. I work for children's services, so I don't say spanking. But you could say you're going to get spanked, or you're going to lose your device for a week, or, you know, some other punishment. You got to cut the lawn all by yourself and pick it, you know, blah, blah, whatever it is. None of those are great. And that's what God did here to David. And so David has said, okay, fine, I'd rather be in the hand of God. Let God punish me. And so God put a plague, and the angel went through and started killing a lot of people. Okay? And David wanted this to stop. So the prophet Gad came to David and told him what to do. Now understand, in this situation, David is the king. David wanted to obey what God told him to do to remedy a problem, right? So here you got a king going to one of the people in his land who is lower than him, and he needs something from him. And so here, sure enough, Arna sees him and says, "You can have everything. You're the king. Take it." David says, "No, I will pay for it. I will pay for it because I'm not giving God any type of offering that didn't cost me something." Now, here's the deal. As God was laying this out and telling me to talk about this type of thing here, his main thing he was telling me is, I want my people to be successful. I want my people to achieve their potential and to reach the things I have for them, but they don't want to pay nothing. Just to be real, we don't, myself included at times. I would love to walk in the room and every sick person just get up because the power of God is so full on me. I would love it. But I don't think I would love it enough to spend the appropriate time. We got to be real. I really would love to see every person healed by me being here. But the moment that means you got to take 2 weeks off from work, or the moment that means that every night you're in the church, or the moment, listen, I know God is a God of balance, but I'm trying to tell you, there's things God requires of us at times, and depending on how high that cost is, we make a choice. We bind or not. David did not want something given to him. If we are truly going to be that better, you know, representation of who we really are, reaching our full potential, we're going to have to go beyond our title. So very first thing, David had the right, and he could have said, "Thank you very much. I take that land. Great. I am the king." He could play it like I do sometimes, and the kids mess up their room, and they say, "Dad, this is my room." I say, "No, this is your room within my house. This is still my room." You know, I'm daddy. You know, but David could have said, "No, that's cool. Give it to me." David had to forget who he was. I am not the king. I am a person doing what God told me to do, and I am hungry for it. I'm so hungry, I want to pay a cost for it. Tell me what the cost is so I can remedy my mess up. That's what God wants us to do, to put something into it. So, number one, I said here, if we are going to reach our full potential, we must count our current status for nothing, good or bad. To advance, you must move from your previous accomplishments or acquired positions and seek God in a fresh way. Every game I would go to, I couldn't talk about the 7 or 15 tackles I made the previous game. I couldn't talk about the interceptions I made. Why? Because they were nowhere. They were gone. They were over. So we can't talk about how many people we got saved back when you first came to Christ. We can't talk about how many people we got saved back then. Can't talk about all the people we were bringing to church. Oh, when did that happen? Oh, that was about 15 years ago. Did you do anything current? You know, and even if it was yesterday, that's done. What you gonna do today? What you gonna do today? So maybe whatever it is you are or what you think you've accomplished, you know, and just to be honest, and I'll tell on myself real quick. I don't want to get too long-winded or I'm going to lose time. But I was every time I go back to my glory time when I came to college, because when I came to college from high school, I had a six-pack. I could wear this cutoff shirt, and I just thought I was on. I mean, I could bear it all. I was ripped. So the other day we were talking, I was at work, and I was talking to my boss and the other deputy director, and I said, shoot, I remember back in the day I had a six pack, and they said, yeah, we know, but you don't have one now. They said, you say that all the time. Yeah, I remember those glory days. I had a six pack. It was once in a time. But if we're going to do what God has for us to do, we got to move beyond the image of who we used to be. And even if things are going great, I want you to break it. Whatever it looks like that's going great for you, you got to break it so that you can go forward. Now, I'm not saying make it worse, but I'm saying take your current situation, look at it, and say, God, where are we going now? We have to adjust day by day by day with God. So you got something that's working just right, and sometimes we leave it alone. We just close our eyes and we say it works. We don't do anything else with it. God wants you to think of a way to break it so it can be put back together in a better way. If we stop thinking that way, we will lose. We will lose. So listen, I'll give you a quick example, because some of you are looking at me like, why would you break it? I was working at a place, and I loved that spot. It was comfortable. It was good. I liked the work I was doing. And sure enough, I was getting so comfortable, God had to come in and allow things to be disturbed and kicked up. It was almost like a mother eagle trying to get the eaglets out, and it just starts messing up the nest and trying to make it prickly and cause them to want to fly and leave home. And sure enough, God caused things. He allowed things to come to a place and that it was started to become broke. That place I thought was comfortable, it was no longer a good place for me. And God was showing me, I'm trying to move you on to the next level, but you're not listening. Let's allow this thing to be broken. And sure enough, it catapulted me into other things, which was great. We must be willing to allow things to be broken. Look for a way to make it better. And so if you look at, you don't have to turn there, but remember, we know this scripture. In Philippians 3:13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, this is Paul, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Even in your very victory, reach for the new. Reach for tomorrow. You do that with the road when you're driving. You don't just, your direction, you know, your GPS tells you to turn right. You don't keep the wheel turned right even after you made the right-hand turn, do you? I hope you don't. You'll end up in a ditch. Amen? So look here. So we have to count our current situation as nothing. Doesn't mean it's not valuable, but for planning's sake, you got to go beyond it, right? Now, also in here, they were talking about the kings here. The kings, he wants to purchase something so he can do a certain thing that God told him to do. And that's exactly what he did. Once he had a price named, he went on and paid the man, right? He went on and paid him, and he went on and did what God told him to do. David was being obedient in serving others. There's a spot in the same scripture that you can look at where David says, listen, I'm the one who made the mistake and decided to count the people. Spare the people. Take my family. That's a leader. That's a leader. He did not try to sidestep his responsibility. He said, I did this. Put it on me. This angel was going through taking people out. I mean, thousands and thousands. And David seeing this and saying, that was my decision. Ahab even tried to tell him, man, why are you doing this? David took responsibility. We, as a church, individuals in the church, and I know we know this, but sometimes we're around people in the world, and sometimes even in the church, we don't really take responsibility. When we fail, somebody else did it. Well, I didn't get healed. He went so long, I didn't have time to get up in the line. You know, we have some stuff, y'all. But listen, We cannot sidestep our responsibilities. We have got to look at it and say, look, that's me. I don't know about you, but I never get better when I can sidestep things. You will not get better if you allow yourself to sidestep whatever it is that you've been called to do and you say, that's not mine. That's the thing I can't hear. I can't stand hearing from my kids even. Here, Ivy and I have gone through and cleaned up the house and everything, and mostly Ivy. I do my part, but mostly Ivy gets. But the kids will say, big cereal box laying on the floor. Clean that up. That's not mine. Seth did that. I don't care. That's yours. You know, I don't care. Seth did it. No, it's all of our responsibility, right? So in this situation, David was trying to spare his people. He made the mistake. He was trying to take on the responsibility for himself, which he should have. Amen? So if we're going to truly reach our potential, we got to go beyond our current place, and we got to accept the responsibility for whatever it is God is speaking to us, which leads me to our action two of unleashing our potential. We must identify God's plan. Don't identify God's plan for that grandma gave you. Identify God's plan that you got from God. Now, too often, we don't hear these things from God because we haven't taken the time to sit in his presence. Again, I am still talking about cost. If you're going to hear what God has for you, if you're going to know what God has for you, you're going to have to be able to take time and listen. I'll tell you, I get the best when I'm cutting the grass. I used to have my little Bluetooth headphones on. I would listen to music. I would have jazz or whatever, Christian music, whatever. I'd have it piping through. And here of late, I've cut it off the last couple months. And I'm hearing so much. I'm hearing so much from God now because I silenced some things. And we're going to have to silence some things and decide. We have to be proactive and say, I'm going to get with God. If you have to block out the time, don't just say, I'm going to do it sometime. You got to block out the time and do it, or else you will not hear God's plan for you. Now, just to tell you, if you're going to hear God's plan for you, and you might say, man, it's hard. I don't hear it all the time. I don't know what God's plan is for me. When you take that time and get with him, if you follow, I'll say this again, the breadcrumbs, or follow the design, there's things in you that when you're near what God's called you to do, there's going to be a sparkle. I'll call it a sparkle. Okay, I know that sounds funny. But that's really what it does. I get a sparkle. And when I'm going in an area that's totally outside, I'm not wired for it, God hasn't fashioned me for it, there's nothing. There's little things you can, God will make sure you know. And so you might discover things that you like, but that will not happen, things that you're even called to, but this will not happen as long as you do not take time out and invest. And when I say invest, I mean whatever it is. It could be your money. It could be your time. It could be your vehicle. It could be taking someone somewhere that you just thought, I don't want to be in my car with that person. They stink. They want me to drive them to the airport or whatever. Seriously, come on now. You know how we do. The devil's tricked us. He's got us into a cycle of doing what we know. That's safe. And safe does not have a big payout. Risk-free means your reward is almost tasteless. Listen, I don't want to speak in language that you don't understand. Do you understand what I mean when I say that? Okay, so when you remove risk and you play it real safe, you have a higher confidence that you're going to be okay. But you also have a higher confidence and a probability that when you get to that point, the reward's going to be like that. Because you didn't put nothing on the line. You didn't go outside your box. You stayed within your own family. You stayed within your own environment. And God is saying, I need you to stretch your muscles. I need you to walk into the hard place. Don't run from the hard place. And the thing is, as long as we keep identifying God's area as those safe places, we will never go into his plan. Because trust me, God's plan for you is not easy. God has not planned easy stuff for you. God's a big God and he wants you to be victorious. So here's what he's doing. He's planning things that's beyond you. Things that's going to make you hurt a little bit. And it's going to be all right. But he's saying, listen, you're tired? I tell Seth and Jane, you guys tired? No, not really. Oh, we haven't done enough. Let's keep going. You know, we haven't done enough. He wants to bring us to a place where it's costing us something. I won't go to this scripture for time's sake, but if you also look, you can write this down. I'll tell you about it. There's another spot where in Genesis 23, 1 through 11, Sarah's death. Sarah died. And Abraham's wanting to bury her. And Abraham is trying to find land. Once again, Abraham is considered a prince. His status is high. His money is full. But people are trying to give him a field and a cave so that he can bury his wife. Actually, I will read one thing in here I really wanted to hit. I want you to see something that Abraham said here that struck me. Genesis 23, verse 3. Oh, heck, I'm going to read it from verse 1. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. So Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Then Abraham stood up from before his dead. Goodness gracious. And spoke to the sons of Heth, I don't know if that's Heth or Heath, but Heth, saying, I am the foreigner and a visitor among you. Give me property for a burial place among you that I may bury my dead out of my sight. Now listen, I was going to go to verse 11, but I'm not going to spend time on that. The gist is this. There's a lot of back and forth. No, hear me. I'm going to give you this land. You're a prince among us. We will give you the land, and whatever it is you want to do, you can have it. He says, no, hear me. I'm going to purchase the land. I want to take care of burying my wife. And then they go back and forth. And again, Abraham pretty much brings it to a point of, look, I will pay the full price, which you'll see in that scripture. I'm giving you the abbreviated version. He says, I will pay the full price. He didn't want a discount. I know I'm the prince. Don't give me a special deal. Don't treat me special. I am going to pay the full price. But look here in verse 3. Some of the language is unique in the fact that he says, I am a foreigner and a visitor among you. Give me the property for a burial place among you that I may bury my dead out of my sight. That language right there. Listen, when something dies, let it die. When something dies, get it out of your sight. Because as long as you're holding on to that dead thing, you cannot see for tomorrow. The first part of that verse, he said he got up out of the dead. He got up from his dead. Yeah. Then Abraham stood up from before his dead. Okay. So listen, God was telling me this is us. we are hanging out with dead stuff too long. And anything dead, dead things are those things that don't align with what God has for you to do. God is life. Therefore, anything outside of God's plan for me, I should consider dead. Okay? So listen, where are you investing your time? Some of us are being good Christians, and we don't want to offend anybody. So we do good things. We help out. We do good things, but we don't necessarily do God things. So even your good thing could be a dead thing. I remember Brother Eddie did his message. Remember he had the drawing up here and was writing all the things that he could do and saying some things are within his plan. And then you remember doing that, Eddie? That was a great message. And that's what I'm thinking about, because it's not that you're, that somebody else's thing they want done or you're trying to help. I'm not saying don't be helpful. I'm saying we have to do some assessment and be intentional if we're going to reach our full potential. Because people will come to you all the time with good ideas. You've got to listen and be silent enough with God and say, does this align with what you want me doing? If it does, great. He may say, listen, take a break. It's cool. Go help there. That's cool. You still got God's permission. It's a good thing. Go and do it. It's a good thing. But if you align yourself with too many things that sounds good, but that's not necessarily God, you're hanging out with dead stuff. And you got to get beyond it. You got to bury that thing. So in here also where I hit the identifying God's plan, it costs. You're going to have to take time and exercise your skills. You're going to have to exercise the things God has given you. You're going to have to exercise your gifts. Now, in 2 Peter, I'm going to read some scripture here for you from 2 Peter, and then we're going to move on. In 2 Peter 1, verse 5, and I'm reading this out of the Amplified Version, so please bear with me on this one. It's not going to align with what you have so much, but basically it says this: for this very reason, applying your diligence to the divine promises, make every effort in exercising your faith to develop moral excellence, and in moral excellence, knowledge, which is insight and understanding, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, steadfastness, and in your steadfastness, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly affection, and in your brotherly affection, develop Christian love. That's unselfishly seeking the best for others and to do things for their benefit. And then in verse 8, it says, these things, for as these qualities are yours and are increasing, if you, as you grow toward spiritual maturity, they will keep you from being useless. That's strong right there. It will keep you from being useless and unproductive in regard to the true knowledge and greater understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop right there. So it went through and listed a list of these different things that you can develop and progress in as a Christian that you're required to. All of these things led up to you being productive and being able to accomplish the things that God has for you to do. So here's the enemy. The enemy does not want you to advance beyond your current place. The enemy wants you to stay smaller, not mature any further. And God clearly wants us to grow up and to explore and to develop new things, or to further develop the things that he's put in us. He wants us to become more diligent, more long-suffering, more loving, more affectionate. more Christ-like in the way we love. And on the tail end of that, it talked about the ability to develop other people. And that was number four when I named off the different things. That was number four. So not only does God want you to invest in your own skills, invest in the things that he has for you, not only does he not want you to sidestep cost or putting something into this, he wants you to go beyond doing it for yourself. He wants you to invest in others. Because a good leader will go beyond himself. And we can say, look, I'm not a leader, though, so I'm exempt. No, you all are leaders. You all are leaders on different levels. So you can't sidestep this. You have an obligation to develop yourself to the level that not only your household is doing great, but you are also bringing along others. That's what we're supposed to do. We're ambassadors of Christ. Right? So we are supposed to develop ourselves and then find others that we can help. This does not happen passively. So what I'm saying is, in your work, in your investment, in your seeking out areas to allow things to grow and move from your place, you've got to actually be diligent and try to look for those areas. Look for those people that you can support. Look for, and listen, that doesn't mean it's easy. If I have to say something difficult to Terry and I say I don't want to lose her friendship, but I know it's good for her family. Look at her. She said, come on. And see, I'm the same way. I tell people, don't worry about our friendship. If you're telling me something right, trust me, I'm going to love you for it. I might be mad up front. I'll try not to be. But tell me. So it's not easy. This walk is not easy. It's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be work. As you are starting to explode and find the things that God has for you to do, as you start discovering and understand, I already said this, you're not going to be able to find and discover in a box. There's things out there you have not seen yet that you will find, and you'll say, wow, I didn't even know I had a gift for this. But as you start to stretch out, you're going to discover some things. And then you're going to be able to go back and tell other people, come on. Don't let your divorce be something that shipwrecks you. Don't let your divorce be something to leave you in a corner saying, I had a chance and I messed it up. I'm done. No. Use it. Find somebody else who's in that situation. You know the land of that thing. You know the lay of it. You could go in and say, look, baby, this is how we're going to do this. This is how you do this. You can make this. You can, you know. But the devil doesn't want us to do that. He wants whatever our situation is, he just wants it to weigh on us so heavy and keep us bound up. But God wants us to go on to the next level and continue to pursue the next level. Let's not allow ourselves to be complacent. Nothing gets accomplished by doing that. Amen? All right, I got one more thing to share with you. We will be done. I'm going old school and I'm going new. I've got my papers printed out, but at the same time, I'm using my device. So hold on for one moment. So this last piece I want to share is about forgiveness. Now, it's not one of the things I've mentioned as far as the four points. One, not counting yourself, anything you've accomplished, not holding to it too dear, okay? That was number one. Two was identify God's plan, which you're going to have to take time and actually get into God and silence things around you and allow him to speak to you. And number three was invest or sacrifice. You're going to have to really pay the cost and not try to sidestep it. But that last step was lead others to excel. So listen, if I didn't want you to accomplish that last piece, if I was the devil, I would release a spirit of offense in this place so that you wouldn't care about anybody else. You would be so offended. Matter of fact, you'd be licking your chops to see them fail. If I was the devil. So you would never be able to get to that higher level of being God's servant, which means you're serving others. You got yourself all together. You know, it's like the airplane. You know, the mask falls down and they tell you, before you try to put the mask on somebody else, put it on you. You put it on you so you know that you're living right. You're where you need to be. But it's so you can fix yourself, help somebody else. But what the devil has done strategically, and he's done it across our nation, is he has set us up to where we are at. We're at each other's throats. We're not looking out for each other. And so when we have an opportunity to come and take someone else and bring them along so they will excel, we're either thinking, I don't want them to excel too far, I'll be out of a job. I don't want them to excel too far because then the things that we disagreed on, they'll think they were right because they're prospering. Come on now, that is true. The enemy does do these things. And so the enemy sets things up so that we will be against each other. But the truth is, and I said this earlier, about God's kingdom being cyclical. As you take care of other people, you are sowing seed into your own. And if the devil can get you to be so mad at Eddie that you don't want to see him thrive, you lock off the seed that you have to sow. So your garden's going to fail. That's the end of the game for the enemy, because he can't take away your salvation now. You've given yourself to God, right? And so his thing is to try to just destroy your life while you're here. And if I can get you not to sow into your brothers and sisters, I can keep you from reaching your highest level and being what God wants you to be. And so my thing is, one of the last things I wrote on my paper, forgive, 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 forgive. Lose the need to be right. Lose the need to be the winner. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't be competitive. I think we need to be competitive. I think we need to always strive to be winners. But my winning is over me. Over my bad habits, over the things that keep me separated from God. Because I can be a winner, you can be a winner. Me being a winner doesn't mean you have to be the loser. Amen? But the devil is telling us that. The devil's telling you, don't share your pulpit. Don't share the praise and worship mic. That's my song. I sing that song. Nobody else gets it. That's my song. Now, I'm not saying we do that here, but I'm saying the enemy is alive and well, and he runs amongst us and tries to speak. And meanwhile, we want to be a strong, thriving church, but we will not thrive unless we are able to bring every member along. We got to bring every member along. And we can't do that if we have offenses and we're walking around in unforgiveness. So I just encourage you right now, if we're going to reach the level we need to reach individually and as a church, we're going to have to walk in freedom and forgiveness. Amen? All right. Did I confuse you? Hopefully I didn't confuse you guys. I know I had a lot up here to share. I had 3 or 4 pages, but I really believe God is going to, this is the one piece I didn't say, is all of this is in preparation. When I talked about hard spots, we're seeing hard spots, but please keep this in mind as we go forward, because there's some things that the enemy is trying to bring, and we as the church are going to have to answer some stuff. We are not going to be able to casually be together and just hear stuff that's incorrect and leave it alone. We won't be able to do that. And so this is preparation to say, you don't have to be the winner. Let's listen to each other, respect each other, and let's discover what God has for us together. And as long as we're bringing each other along, we're going to go where we're supposed to be. Amen? All right.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.